Beach erosion, beach nourishment, and balancing habitat management with human use are issues many Cape and Islands communities face. A proposal for shore bird habitat management on Samson's Island in Dead Neck, a barrier island just off the village of Kituit, has the community there and in the neighboring village of Osterville grappling with the best approach. And joining us to talk about the proposal for Samson's Island Dead Neck, Dr. Catherine Parsons, Director of Mass Audubon's Coastal Water Bird Program. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
And Warren Wheelwright, an opponent of the project and a summer resident of Kituit. Good morning, Warren.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks for being here. As always, we welcome your phone calls and emails. Mindy is feeling a little under the weather today, so I could use your phone calls and questions this morning if you are in favor or opposition of the proposal to move a portion of Samson's Island east to Dead Neck. Please chime in. Here's the number, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Or you can email thepoint@wgbh.org. So for listeners not familiar with Samson's Island Dead Neck, we have a map on our website, capeandislands.org. Go to the point page and you can see the area we're talking about. Part of the island is a wildlife refuge and there is no development anywhere on the island. Kathy, can you describe why the island was turned into conservation land and what species can be found there?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And thanks very much for this opportunity to be here. Samson's Island was gifted to Mass Audubon in the 1940s, specifically to be a tern sanctuary. It's historically provided very important habitat for at least three species of terns, least terns, common terns, and historically roseate terns. And then more recently, with the recovery of piping plovers, there have been more and more pairs of piping plovers using the island as well.
And the proposal Three Bays Preservation and Mass Audubon have come up with is part of a larger effort to improve habitat for the nesting shorebirds. Can you describe the proposal?
Yes, absolutely. The proposal would like to take a sediment that's off the western end of Samson's Island, which is accreted into a fairly long spit, and replace that on the Dead Neck portion of the island, which is to the east, which is in danger of breaching and has suffered a lot of erosion over time, principally because the source of sand for that area of the coastline has been interrupted through jetties and armoring of the coastline.
That's the purpose, then, to reinforce that area?
The purpose is to reinforce the island as part of a larger project to enhance and restore habitat for the birds overall. So the project proposes to move that sediment to reinforce the island. We expect that sediment to move again over time down to Samson's Island. And in the process, it will widen the beaches that are along the Nantucket Sound side of the island. There's also aspects of the project that will engage in vegetation management to create better habitat for the birds. Also, some other aspects, predator management and disturbance management to create the best situation for birds on the island. The Samson's Island, portion of Dead Neck Samson's Island, was given to Mass Audubon, as I mentioned, for a tern sanctuary. And the Dead Neck portion of the island is under a conservation restriction as a bird sanctuary and for conservation purposes. So those are the primary purposes for the island.
Warren, a number of people have raised concerns about the proposal, including yourself. Can you tell us what are those concerns?
Yes. Sean and Kathy, we appreciate very much this opportunity to shed some light on the issues of this project. Given that it was submitted December 6th to the Conservation Commission, 2.5 weeks before Christmas, with a first hearing on January 8th, all during the holidays, when all the summer people are absent, and in fact many people might be off on vacation, this project needs some light shed on it. There are many aspects to this that have severe potential for disturbance, environmental damage, and it needs to have the light shed on it. An opportunity for discussion, Sean. Not just the bird aspects, but the other aspects. But fortunately, with Audubon having as its mission that they are working for wildlife and people, this project applies to both. And it has been, for me, who's been a 27-year member of Audubon, quite a shock to see this project go forward. I spoke a couple of years ago to Kathy Parsons about this, along with Ian Ives And I have recently sent an email in the fall regarding what status was. Didn't hear anything. And then we hear about this project being submitted on December 6th, 2.5 weeks before Christmas. And there I'm up in Sherburn. There are many people all over. The folks on Oyster Harbors are affected, not just the butters that are 100 feet from the tip of Sampson's. This has abutters that are far larger in scope that could be impacted by the removal of a barrier beach that serves many purposes. And I'd like to go into that later, Sean.
Okay.
There are bird aspects here that I will challenge Kathy on. There are shell fishermen and shellfish aspects on this. There are numerous considerations that everyone should be taking a look at before something of this magnitude goes. Because if you may not be aware, Sean, but there is a project to just open up Rushy Marsh a mile up the road with a jetty and access in, and it failed resoundingly. This is a mega project compared to that. We don't want something like that to occur here with the adverse impacts that we're concerned about. Thank you.
Okay. Kathy, this is not the first time I understand that there has been dredging projects in this area. So in the past, where was the dredging and sand deposited, and can we learn anything from what impacts were felt then?
Sure. There have been many, many dredging projects. Removal of sand from channels, buttressing of the island, that's occurred historically. The outlet for West Bay was cut in the early 1900s, and that was a major event that really affected the transport of sand and the coastal dynamics in this area of the coast. Kituit Channel, which is at the other end of the island from the West Bay cut, has been dredged historically since the 30s, and then there's been small dredging projects also throughout the Sipuit River and other places around the island. The largest project that's similar in size and scope to what we're envisioning here occurred in the year 2000 or thereabouts. It took a couple of years to accomplish it, but about 200,000 cubic yards of material was placed on the dead neck portion of the island. That material was dredged from nearby channels.
And how did that project work out?
So that project is actually what gives us hope that what we're planning with Three Bays is going to be very successful. It deposited a large amount of sediment on the dead neck side, creating a new 12 or so acre area of nesting for terns and plovers. And then over time, over the last 10 years or so, a lot of that material, as we expected, was eroded down to the Sampson's Island end of the island, creating a wider beach along the Nantucket Sound side of the island, and again creating habitat for nesting plovers, particularly where they didn't occur previously. So we were able to go from about 10 pairs of piping plovers before the renourishment project to more than 25 pairs over that period. So we thought that was quite successful.
We're talking about a proposal for shorebird habitat management on Sampson's Island Dead Neck. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, give us a call, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Or you can email us, thepoint@wgbh.org. On the phone is Patty calling in from Kituit. Good morning, Patty.
Hi, good morning.
What's your question?
I actually wanted to voice some of my concerns about the project. And just kind of following up on what Kathy said, she did note that with some nearby channel dredging, the dead neck end of the island has been bolstered and increased nesting pairs. I just wanted to point out that removing 11 acres from the Sampson's Island end of the island will eliminate existing bird habitat. And I think there's a way to achieve everybody's purpose here or goals, and that is to find sand from somewhere besides the Sampson's Island Point. So by using nearby channel dredging spoils, the dead neck end could be bolstered to increase those bird populations. You would avoid eliminating not only some existing piping plover nests on the Sampson's Island end, but you'd eliminate the need to get rid of 800 feet at least of recreational area for the folks from Kitiwit and Mashpee and other areas that enjoy that island so much. So I just think that by finding it a different source of sand rather than dredging 11 acres from the Samson's Island end, that all of these purposes could be achieved, and we can still maintain that barrier beach for recreational purposes as well.
Thank you, Patty. What about that, Kathy? Some folks are perplexed at the notion of destroying habitat to create habitat.
I think that's a really great point. And one thing I wanted to mention before, and this pertains to Patty as well as to Mr. Wilwright, is that Mass Audubon is very happy that people have engaged on this project. We're really anxious to have input, especially from our members, and appreciate the support that we've had from members over the years on our conservation projects on Dead Neck Samson's Island. And I'd also note that the project is still in a public review phase. We're still receiving information. All the permits are, many of the permits are still pending. So just hopefully at some point we'll be able to give some contact information for people to provide more input. But in terms of where else can we get sand, that's a good question, and it's come up. There are no dredge spoils that are available close to the island at this point. That material has already been used and has now ended up on Samson's Island. So we're concerned about making sure that the material that's placed on Dead Neck to reinforce the integrity of the island is actually compatible with the existing material. And we know that the material from Samson's Island will meet that need. It's actually come from Dead Neck, so it's what we consider to be a literal cell, and that's a closed system. So bringing that material back to Dead Neck and then having it come and circle back and forth is sort of something that we believe is sustainable and makes sense. It's possible that there could be offshore mining of sand, but we're concerned about that from an environmental point of view. It would be very expensive for one thing, but more than that, there are important habitats that are created by shoals offshore, and it's not clear that Mass Audubon would really be behind that kind of mining.
Mr. Wilwright, your thoughts on this?
Yes. If we're speaking of important habitats out in the shoals of Nantucket Sound, there's important habitat surrounding the tip of Samson's Island. There are shellfish on the interior side. There are shellfish on the exterior side. It also represents in the tidal zone a important feeding ground. And then also up above that, both for the piping plovers along the rack line, there will be a net removal of 12 to 1,400 lineal feet of beach staging ground when you just widen a neck at the other end of this pair of islands. The birds stand to lose a great deal here for the benefit of just widening that Samson's Island, Dead Neck end. And let me say that Dead Neck end, has failed 3 times in a row since the first nourishment. That was 1985, Kathy. By 2000, they wanted more. They did more dredging spoils. 2010, more. In the documentation of the notice of intent, and we don't have much from you here, and we'd like to see a lot more, and it's in a request to the CONCOM that there be more data on the pattern of nesting at Dead Neck. But scarping has developed substantially due to the erosive character of that spot next to the cut, creating a hazardous location, a killing field for the piping plovers, because they can't get from their nests above the rack line down to the rack line and then get back to shelter. It's too steep. You just need to go out there, Kathy, and take a look at the sharp scarp and how it has failed. And it was documented that in 2010, you had quite a few nests. By 2011, it dropped dramatically. 2012, we didn't see anything. But we know that the nesting has been excellent all the way up the neck toward Samson's Island. And one of your staff has coming off the island told me when I questioned how things are going, because I knew that the first nesting was damaged dramatically by the spring northeaster. And they said, yes, it did hurt the first nesting, but the second nesting went well. Then I see in the Globe that nesting elsewhere didn't go well even on the second. Fledging did fine, and they came back with quite a smile, and I think the reporting here could be much more clear on how Dead Neck has been a killing field, a failure, and continuing to erode, and that what you should be telling Three Bays is to focus on the source of the problem and not throwing more Band-Aids of more dread spoil at this problem, and that the problem, Sean, should be focused on correcting that cut and those jetties sticking out there. Thank you.
Kathy, any response to that?
Well, I guess I would be happy to send you more information about the bird nesting. Birds sometimes have success and sometimes don't have success. In 2007, we had the highest level of nesting on the island, and that was a few years after that big renourishment project took place.
Right.
Nesting has never been that dense since, and as the beach is narrowed and as that scarping has taken place on the Dead Neck side and made smaller, diminished the nesting habitat that's available there, we've had many fewer numbers of both plovers and terns. One of the things that happens when we have these narrow beaches or these narrow dredge spoil top areas where the birds are nesting is that it makes it much easier for predators to find the birds, and so their productivity has also gone down at the same time that the island habitat has been diminished. So those are all very much concerns, and we certainly want the birds to do well. We don't want to create a killing field, and I'm not sure that that's what you meant. What's happened is with erosion, it creates a situation that's not ideal for the birds, and so by placing more material on those areas, we're fixing the problem.
We have Rob waiting on the phone from Centerville. Let's go to Rob. Good morning, Rob. Okay, we'll try Rob again in a few minutes if he calls back. Did you have something to say?
Yes, I wanted to stress the advantages of the Sampson Island side for its bird habitat, preferred habitat, in that it's low-lying, it can be subject to washovers, which allows some sand to get through the grass, it re-nourishes, not artificially, but naturally, for the birds, and the piping plovers have regularly nested there, along with terns if you have a low-lying but good, strong barrier beach. And then going to the barrier beach aspects here, a natural one is much more erosion resistant than an artificial spoil dump. And that's what you're getting with Dead Neck, is an artificial spoil dump that scarps readily under erosion that Sampson's Island is not subject to. It's been found in the New Jersey coast down to Florida that anything that's redredged, bulldozed, spoiled, erodes anywhere from 2 to 10 years, depending on the nature of the sand. Kootuat's fortunate that it's fronting on Nantucket Sound, not on the ocean. But if you look at how long it took for Dead Neck to erode after the jetty went in, took 85 years plus or minus. It's only taking 10 to 15 years for this to erode on Dead Neck. Let's solve the problem, not be putting more Band-Aids. Let's work for the piping plovers to keep more nesting habitat. If you think you can make Dead Neck work, because if you, Sean, I want you. It sounds like you have another person.
We have another call. Rob is back on the line from Centerville. Hello, Rob.
Hi. I actually have two questions. I attended the CONCOM meeting in January, mm-hmm. and my first question is to the Audubon people. I saw that they made the statement that the plover nesting grounds increased right after the nourishment, the adding of sand to Dead Neck. But when I sort of looked at some of those charts afterwards, it seemed that plover nesting was actually increasing before the nourishment began. And it seems like there's an incorrect causal relationship between the nesting and, plover habitat improvement. From what I've read about this, it seems that it has more to do with seasonal factors and cyclical variations that just so happen to coincide with the last Dead Neck project. And should I ask my second question now?
Let's hold on and let's hear Kathy's response to that.
I think that's an interesting observation. We did see nesting increasing, but as I mentioned earlier, when the renourishment occurred, we didn't have immediate increases in piping plovers because those birds were really taking advantage of the sand being transported from that renourished area, which is, again, what we expected to happen, moving downdrift toward Samson's Island, and in the process widening the Nantucket Sound beach. So we have almost 2 miles of beach that was enhanced because the material that was placed on Dead Neck was moving downdrift toward Samson's Island. And that's actually, it took a couple of years for that to begin to happen, and that's actually when we began seeing those strong increases. Not only that, we had relatively good productivity in those years, and when the birds are able to fledge young, within a year, there's fairly strong site fidelity. Those young birds will come back and also try to nest on the island.
Rob, what was your second question?
My second question was something that really wasn't raised yet, or it wasn't really raised at CONCOM, which is the situation for the abutters. It seems that Dead Neck is a barrier island for oyster harbors. I was wondering if there was any sort of study done as to how they would be affected by the loss of Dead Neck, or conversely, how they will be affected by the nourishment, because it seems that there's a very significant benefit to private property that, you know, the public is being asked to finance here. And this is the thing that sort of, when I first heard about this, is a little bit disturbing to me, because especially with all of what's been going on in Sandwich and Plum Island in these last few storms, you know, has there really been a study and a discussion as to how beneficial it is to actually be attempting to nourish these barrier islands in order to protect private property?
Is that any of the motivation here, Kathy, to protect oyster harbors?
It's not at all for Mass Audubon. We believe that the buttressing of the island will protect the integrity of the island. If we have a breach at Dead Neck, the coastal geologists have predicted that the remainder of Dead Neck will accrete over to oyster harbors and no longer be an island at that end, and that the sand will continue to accrete at Samson's Island and join with Kituit and no longer be an island at that end as well. So what we will have lost for coastal water birds is an island habitat, which is a better habitat for birds that are nesting on the ground and are subject to ground predators.
Okay, thanks for your call, Rob. Did you want to add
something? Yes, I'd like to explain a little bit here or make sure that the audience that are beyond the Kituit Oyster Harbors area is aware that Three Bays has two of its principal directors that own all of the land facing this Dead Neck beach that is to be buttressed. And Three Bays was founded following the first nourishment, we'll call it, buttressing of that Dead Neck beach. Now, to the beach value of a barrier beach, if it's natural, the grains adhere better. There's much more erosion resistance. There is not when you have the spoil. So what we have to do is not just treat this as a circular field here, because we want to have both areas be good habitat for birds. And the best habitat you've got right now is Samson's Island. And Dead Neck is not your good habitat. You just get in a circle and that's bad habitat you're throwing good habitat at.
We only have a few minutes left. I want to be sure we get to a few things. One thing is the money. Where's the payment for this $1.6 million project? Where's the money coming from for this?
The money is expected to come from private and possibly public sources, but that has not yet been determined, so that's still in play.
And when were you looking to begin the project?
If the project could begin a year from now, we would be very delighted, but we're looking possibly at a longer time period.
And are these just town decisions or county decisions to be made? And does the state weigh in on this at all? What's the process?
I believe there are about 20 permits that are needed in order to have the project go forward, so at a variety of levels of government.
Mr. Wheelwright, what does this boil down to for the opponents? I've heard a lot of concern about birds, concern about landowners. This is a beach that's used a lot by folks in Kituit, Centerville, Osterville. Is this primarily opponents concerned about losing some of the beach that they typically use for recreational purposes or no?
It's a mix of all of those you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
There are 9 abutters on the Kituit shore concerned about increased erosion there at the expense of the benefit to the 2 others down on Dead Neck. What's not been communicated to everyone around the Kituit Harbor is that they have added risk. We have rising water levels since 1960, we probably have close to 4 inches. We may have more in the next 30, 40 years with increasing warmth. We have to look at the larger impact. But also, the recreational impact is important, but that's also where the birds feed. That's a staging ground, and there is no replication of that staging ground. There is a loss of 12 to 1,400 lineal feet of beach, not just for recreation, but for bird feeding, for the shellfish habitat around there. No, there's considerable loss, and it's throwing good sand at bad sand. And without focusing on the problem, which is the jetties, and the jetties, there are new sand bypassing systems. These engineers and resources of Three Bays should be devoted toward fixing the problem of erosion and keep both habitats there. The Dead Neck as a barrier beach, which is what it always has been, not a primary bird habitat. They're artificially trying to make it that without it being effective.
Dr. Kathy Parsons of Mass Audubon, if you want to respond to that, that's fine. Was there anything else, any information you wanted to get out today that we didn't get to?
Well, just to sum up, I'd like to just reiterate that the project, in our view, will increase habitat. The birds have always nested on the Dead Neck side. There's a starvation of sand coming to Dead Neck because not just of the jetties, but also because of the armoring of the coast that's preventing erosion and bringing sand down. We want to see the entire island used as a bird sanctuary. We want to create habitat wherever we can. We're sensitive and understand the interest in recreation. And want to accommodate that as well. But our mandate really for both organizations is to manage it as a bird sanctuary.
A public hearing is coming up March 19th. Where is that?
That's going to be in Barnesville and Hyannis at the public building there, the government building.
And where can people get more information?
There's a wealth of information available on Three Bays' website. That's threebays.org. And there is also information at Mass Audubon. And I encourage people to email me at coastalwaterbirds@massaudubon.org.
Mr. Wheelwright, I want to thank you for being in here today. And you're an opponent of the project, a summer resident of Kitiut. And Dr. Kathy Parsons, director of Mass Audubon's Coastal Waterbird Program, for coming in to talking about it. Folks can chime in on Facebook, of course, if they would like to do that. I'd like to thank Mindy Todd for asking me to sit in for her today. I'm Sean Corcoran. Thanks for joining us.
The Point airs weekdays at 9:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. We're also on Facebook at The Point, WCAI. Amy Vince produces The Point. Mindy Todd is executive producer. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.